Whether I will turn out to be the hero of my own life, or whether that station will be held by anybody else, these pages must show.
So begins David Copperfield, said to be the most autobiographical of Charles Dickens's works, written from 1849 to 1850, when he was in his late 30s. But Dickens had been chronicling his observations for more than two decades, and would continue to produce work for two more. His novels and short stories about life in 19th century England have survived and thrived. Dickens' life and work is the subject of museums and festivals, among them a year-long celebration now in progress at the Free Library of Philadelphia. Now WRTI's Susan Lewis looks at the man behind the words and asks, what the Dickens?
Today, even people who have not read the novels of Charles Dickens are likely to have seen his work on the stage or screen, which might have pleased the man who at one time wanted to be an actor himself. His great-great-grandson, actor Gerald Charles Dickens, has delved into his grandfather's life and work.
He loved acting, he loved performing, he loved being on stage, he loved going to the theatre and watching other people perform. And when you read the novels with that in mind, you can see the theatricality behind him, the way he sets scenes, the way he develops plots, the way the characters are drawn and described and how they act.
Charles Dickens became famous for his colourful characters and dramatic scenes, often set on the gritty streets of 19th century London, conditions he experienced firsthand as a young boy.
A lot of his writings are based upon his life.
Siobhan Reardon is president and director of the Free Library of Philadelphia.
Much of it is almost autobiographical in some ways, shapes, or forms. And so almost in every single story he writes, there's some part of Charles Dickens and his life in there.
Dickens was a master at drawing readers into his stories.
He develops his character well. He develops his scenes well. He writes dark and he writes epically, but he does add a tremendous sense of humor to his work.
The library, which boasts the third largest collection of Dickens letters in the world, has worked on its exhibitions with LaSalle University literature professor Edward Pettit, who says Dickens found inspiration in his surroundings.
He would walk around the city at night and visit all the bad neighborhoods of the city and use all this personal experience he had within London and the surrounding countryside on his vast walk. He would walk miles a day. 10 miles a day was nothing for him to walk. You know, there's not only literary influences on his work, but I guess I would have to say the biggest influence on his work is the environment that he lived in, that his environment shaped what he wrote.
He grew up in circumstances that exposed him to good times and bad. The second oldest of eight children, Dickens was born in 1812 to a middle-class family. But when his father, a clerk in the Naval Pay Office, landed in debtor's prison, 12-year-old Charles was sent to work for a time in a blacking, or shoe polishing, factory. Janine Pollock, head of the Free Library's Rare Book Department, says the experience made a lasting impression on him.
And gave him a sympathy for the poor and for people who had to work for a living. But eventually his father was able to pay off his debts and Dickens was then sent to school. He started to learn shorthand, so he was taking notes at Parliament and writing for this journal that, you know, said what was going on in Parliament, and that's how he got his start as a writer.
His first big foray into fiction was in 1936, with sketches of everyday people, including schoolmasters, shopkeepers, criminals and the destitute, as well as young gentlemen and ladies. Writing under a nickname he'd given his younger brother, he published in different journals and then collected the pieces in a book he called Sketches by Boz.
They were a slice of life. They were everyday life and everyday people, he called it. And, you know, London was pretty gritty at the time. So some of the descriptions are, I'm not going to say vulgar, but just very real, raw, funny, some of them.
Later in 1936, Dickens was hired to write captions for a series of illustrations. The captions expanded into stories, and when the Pickwick Papers was published, Dickens' writing career took off. Next came Oliver Twist, the story of the misadventures of the orphan Oliver, where Dickens began his literary advocacy for the poor. Oliver was followed by Nicholas Nickleby, The Old Curiosity Shop, the historical novel Barnaby Rudge, and others. He wrote nearly all his novels in parts, serially for monthly journals. Edward Pettit says while some cautioned that he wouldn't be taken seriously as a novelist in that form, His writing became enormously popular.
People really tuned in every month for the next issue. And it affected the way he wrote, especially early on. He was not plotting ahead of time these novels, especially Pickwick Papers, but even Oliver Twist. You could tell he's writing it serially. He's just thinking it up on the fly. But it also adds this great energy to it. Like, the story really moves because of that.
A Christmas Carol, said to have been written at odd moments, appeared in 1843 and sold 6,000 copies on the day of issue. It became the first of five annual Christmas stories. Despite the pace of his work, Dickens created complex and quirky characters and gave detailed instructions to illustrators as to exactly how these characters should look.
Some people say there are 989 named characters, and he really gives them a personality and gives them all of these idiosyncrasies.
The description of Scrooge is a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, and by the time you've got to the sentence, you're him.
Gerald Charles Dickens travels with a variety of one-man shows based on his grandfather's life and works.
The great thing about Scrooge is everything is so direct and so harsh. So when he's in his office on Christmas Eve and his nephew comes in and wishes him a Merry Christmas, he says, "Christmas! Out upon Merry Christmas! Well, what is Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills with no money, a time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and bedded with a stake of holly through his heart. He should."
Dickens' characters had their own followings. When Little Nell, a 13-year-old orphan in the old curiosity shop, hovered between life and death.
Everyone was so wrapped up in Little Nell's story that, especially in Philadelphia and New York, when the serial publications were coming across on the boat, people were waiting at the docks for the next issue to come out to find out, did Little Nell make it? Is she going to live? And of course she didn't. And people were very involved with these characters.
The character of a raven in the book Barnaby Rudge, about a mentally disabled man, captured the imagination of another literary giant, Edgar Allan Poe, says library president Siobhan Reardon.
Poe didn't think that the raven in Barnaby Rudge was very well developed, and so that's how Poe came to write the raven. The raven, of course, Grip, was the household pet of Charles Dickens.
Grip was stuffed when he died and now lives at the Central Branch of the Free Library of Philadelphia. Along with over 1,200 letters Dickens wrote, his desk, and a dozen personal effects, which lend insight into his busy personal life. Married in 1836, he had 10 children and also took care of extended family members. Dickens traveled to Europe and the United States. In 1842, he made a stop in Philadelphia. In his American notes, he wrote at length about the horrors at Eastern State Penitentiary. About the city itself, he observed,
"It is a handsome city, but distractingly regular. After walking about it for an hour or two, I felt that I would have given the world for a crooked street."
Over the next 2.5 decades, he would continue to turn out literary masterpieces, among them David Copperfield in 1849, A Tale of Two Cities 10 years later, and Great Expectations in 1860. He worked to raise awareness of social injustice both through his writings and with philanthropic support of institutions like a hospital that served the poor. And in 1858, he started his reading tours in England, touring in America in 1867.
He would prepare for them. He would almost rewrite the story. We even have a copy of one of the Christmas stories that is edited for a reading.
When he went on the road with his reading tours, it was a way to have a very direct relationship to his readers. The very famous one, he never did over here, but did in England, was The Murder of Nancy from Oliver Twist, which was so brutal and so graphic in the way he performed it, even though he was standing at a reading desk with a book in his hand in white tie and tails. But it was so convincing and so graphic that he used to judge the success of the reading by the amount of people who fainted in the audience.
Dickens died suddenly in 1870, leaving his last book, The Mystery of Edwin Drood, unfinished. Sculptor Frank Elwell, unaware that the author had directed in his will that no monument should be created to honor him, cast a full-size statue of Dickens with his character of Little Nell that now stands in Clark Park in West Philadelphia. But the greatest tribute to Charles Dickens is this. His novels and short stories have never gone out of print and continue to be read, adapted, and performed today.
WRTI's Susan Lewis. The Free Library of Philadelphia continues its celebration of a year of Dickens. The exhibition At Home on the Stage, Charles Dickens and the Theatre, is at the Rare Book Department of the Parkway Central Library through January 3rd. Among other programming, literary salons are considering a different Dickens novel each month. Great Expectations will be discussed on June 21st.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.